This is a really unique episode and an unusual but really special take on traveling.
Yeah, and you're going to want to listen to this entire episode because not only is this about a cause that we're passionate about and that we believe in, but you can also win a really, really cool van.
Like this is, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it for you guys because we want you to stick on because this is a really, really amazing van. It's worth $250,000. It's a 2023 Sprinter, completely decked out. I mean, this conversion is incredible. It sleeps up to six people. It has a full dining, full shower, microwave, stove. I mean, it has everything, massive water tank. I mean, it's got everything you could possibly need to live in it or travel in it. And you also get $70,000 cash to essentially pay for the taxes on this. So the idea is that when they give this van away, they want you to be able to keep it and love it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But let's talk about why they're giving away the van.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We're going to have Steve Johnston on. He's a dad, he's a physician, and now he's running this nonprofit because his son Luke is slowly going blind. And he'll explain all about this rare disease that Luke has and why van life is integral to this story.
Yeah, so just to give you a background, Luke is their 10-year-old son. They also have a daughter, so it's a family of four, but Luke is 10 years old, and like Chris said, he's going blind. So their nonprofit is called A Race Against Blindness, and they are racing to get this clinical trial over to the U.S. It's in U.K. now, and it's about to begin trials with humans, and they're wanting their son to be one of the first. It's a very, very ultra-rare disease that he has, and they're racing to get the funds to get their son this treatment so he doesn't lose all of his vision.
So if you like traveling, if you like helping other people out, if you like van life, or maybe you want to win a van, this episode is very much for you. And we want to encourage you, listen to Steve, listen to the entire story. It's inspiring. You want to leave and just, you want to be able to help somebody and do something adventurous all at the same time. And so I know that this conversation is going to help you out. And if you're interested in learning more about how you can win this van, at the end of the episode, we'll go all sorts of into the details, all the nitty gritty, but just know you can find all the information down in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get to the conversation with Steve Johnston.
We're just going to go ahead and dive right in. Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be here, and I'm looking forward to talking to you guys about all this.
Let's just dive in. Like, who are you? What do you do? Like, where are you at? Let's get a quick bio so everybody can get an idea of who you are.
Okay, great. Yeah, so my name is Steve Johnston, as you guys mentioned, and I run a 501c3 nonprofit. And we founded this nonprofit after I got the diagnosis that my son has a rare genetic condition and is slowly going blind. So that jump-started a whole cascade of different things for us, from wanting to make a difference to raise awareness, and ultimately has led us down the path of supporting a clinical trial that could provide a cure for him. So it's really changed my entire life and our mission and purpose. And we have a lot of exciting things going on with that. And I look forward to digging into all those with you.
I want to get into the whole nonprofit and everything, but I think we should first start with how we got connected with you and your adventures in 2023. So you guys actually have a tie to the whole van life travel industry. Could you tell us about what you guys did in 2023?
Yes. So after we got this diagnosis, it really, as you've probably heard many people say at some point in their life, there was one of those moments that really changed them to want to grasp life, to live life to the fullest, and to not waste another day. And I should have known that. I should have already felt that with the line of work I'm in my other life, which is a physician. But nonetheless, that diagnosis came that my son was losing his vision and was going to become blind by his teenage years. And that totally pushed us to want to get out and live life to the fullest and see the world and do all the things. And we wanted to really make sure that he had gained as many experiences as we could give him before he loses more vision. So that led us to set out van lifestyle over the summer of 2023. So we got an adventure van and we packed up and we hit the road for their entire school summer break. And we literally crammed every day with something amazing, some great sight, some epic experience, some unique thing that would hopefully stick with him for the rest of his life, no matter what happens with, you know, the future with, you know, treatments or cures or any of that stuff. So that's how we really became deeply connected to van life and ultimately doing this fundraiser that we're doing around it as well. So
could you tell us where you went in 2023 and how did you guys pick where you went? Did Luke have any, Luke is the son that is going blind.
Correct.
So just to tell our audience who that is, but did Luke have any input about where you all went or what did that route choosing look like?
Yeah. So great question. As a quick summary, we started the summer up in Victoria, Canada. We are from Arizona. So we wanted to see different things than we're used to in the desert Southwest. And the name of the nonprofit is A Race Against Blindness. And we actually started in Victoria for a specific reason, because we wanted to do a Ironman race in Victoria. So that was our first stop of the summer. And it was kind of our summer kickoff, was doing this Ironman race, which was to raise awareness, do some fundraising, and also just kind of, we've set out to be this example of kind of how to overcome and how to do hard things and overcome challenges. So we did this Ironman race to start the summer as our kickoff, and that was in Victoria, Canada. So that's how we picked that spot. From there, we wanted to kind of just have a natural road trip through the Pacific Northwest, the Mountain West, and make our way back home to Arizona. So we essentially hit a lot of places in Washington, like Olympic and Rainier, Orcas Island. We had planned on seeing the North Cascades, but we got kind of snowed out that day. So we called a van life audible and went to Leavenworth, Washington, which ended up being really awesome impromptu stop that we were all very excited by, and that we had a great time there. And ultimately, we made our way into Coeur d'Alene over to Montana. We saw Glacier for multiple days and really spent a lot of time over there. And worked our way down through Wyoming, had some really awesome experiences in Wyoming, which were some of Luke's favorites, and then down to Utah and back to Arizona. So we kind of wiggled our way across the western half of the U.S. to see as many things as we could in 8 weeks, which was felt like a long time when we were planning it, but ended up being like way too short. And we need probably 8 more years to explore that area. But we had 8 weeks and we made every day worth it.
Wow, you hit up some of our absolute favorite spots in the country. Yeah. We love Vancouver Island where Victoria is, but Glacier National Park is like my all-time favorite place in the U.S. So, I mean, if you've got one shot to show him the best of America, you guys did it.
Oh, yeah, and Leavenworth, Washington.
So quirky.
It's so quirky, and for those who are listening, Leavenworth, Washington is this kind of Bavarian town in Washington.
Yeah.
And nobody gives you a heads up. Like, you just kind of roll in and the McDonald's looks like it's straight out of Germany. Like, nobody talks about it until you're there and you're like, this is a quirky town, but it's really
beautiful
fun.
Beautiful mountains, though, like the Swiss Alps of America kind of thing. It's quirky.
It's such a unique place. And then there was this reindeer farm there too, where you literally get
I've heard of that.
Yeah, you get to go up and like pet the reindeer and feed them and literally do all the things. I looked it up a lot after we were there, and gosh, the winter scenes in Leavenworth are just nostalgic, like this kind of childhood fantasy Christmas wonderland. And I would love to go back over the wintertime sometime. We saw it over the summer. But you can go pet the reindeer right up close. And it's really interesting and fun. And the kids, of course, love it. So
cool. That's so cool. You don't think of reindeer in Washington too often.
No, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
Washington's one of our favorite places. Yeah. So what kind of activities do you guys do on the trip? Like, what does Luke does? Are you guys into hiking or fishing, or what does that look like for him? Did he get to just choose all of his favorite things to do, or how did y'all decide how to spend each day?
Yeah, for sure. So we kind of did a mix of everything. We really wanted it to be a wide-ranging trip full of kind of more outdoorsy experiences, you know, the hiking, the fishing, all that kind of stuff, which was kind of the bulk of what we were doing, was really trying to show him the, you know, the beauty of nature and all the things out there. And we've done a lot of kind of outdoor stuff prior to this. So he was kind of exposed to hiking and all that kind of stuff, but really it was amazing watching him expand his love of hiking and getting out and doing things, which was, amazing to see, but also kind of heartbreaking at the same time, because you're sitting there watching him really blossom and develop into this like love of nature, you know, enjoying hiking and seeing all these cool sights that you can only see by hiking. But at the same time watching going, what if he can't do this in the future? And what if he can't, what is his reality going to look like if he can't do these things? You have those dual moments of like, you're being really excited and proud that he's doing all this stuff, but then you're also like kind of heartbroken that, like, what if he can't do this again? So there was a lot of outdoorsy stuff. And then we tried to throw in a lot of kid-friendly stuff, like the Leavenworth thing ended up being one of them. Some of his favorites, which were kind of some of his request lists at the beginning, was his grandpa is a big rock collector and is in the rock business. And so he has a lot of friends that do rock hounding and fossils and dinosaur bones and all this stuff. And they have, there was two places in Wyoming that we were aware of. One of them is run by one of his friends who does like this fossil rock fish quarry of like old ancient fish fossils. And he invited us out to let Luke go just dig through, you know, the quarry and, you know, get his own fish fossils out. And that was like one of his favorite moments. He loved it. Such a big hit for him. And then we went to a dinosaur dig site in Thermopolis.
How was that?
Yeah, it was really fun. So I mean, we went out on a live dino dig, and like they literally are letting you, like, you know, extract the fossils and stuff. And you know, it's funny because my daughter wasn't as into it. You know, she's kind of like more like high energy and really like doesn't want to sit still. And he was just like, you know, just really like get into it and totally, you know, just loving the whole moment and the dinosaur process. And we found a new dinosaur bone there that, you know, had never been excavated and never uncovered. And, wow, you know, it's just kind of really awesome to sit there and appreciate that moment that this thing's been in the ground for millions of years and nobody's ever seen or touched it. And, you know, he got to pull it out and experience it and be a part of that. So that was really exciting and fun for him. And those were his two favorite stops of the summer. So it was just really cool for him and an awesome experience.
How cool. Talk about core memories being made.
I want to go actually dig a dinosaur bone.
Indiana Jones is his favorite movie. Yeah. Like archaeology, digging up all stuff. Day. Like that's his thing. Like,
where's the Ark of the Covenant? All right. That. Yeah. So yeah, how old is Luke?
He's 10 now. He just turned 10.
Oh, he's 10. I thought he was 12. Okay. So I do want to ask a little bit about like his current eyesight, because I know that when did you guys get that diagnosis, first of all?
It's been a couple of years now since we got the original diagnosis, and he's, over those couple of years, we've already started to see some kind of slow progression of vision loss and losing some of the, you know, losing some of those skills that he has there. So it's, you know, it's been hard to just see that firsthand now, having gone through that time frame.
What can I ask, what his vision's like right now? I'm just trying to get an understanding of like, what is his daily life like?
Absolutely. Yeah. So he has very functional vision right now. So his like acuity is 20/50. So like in the state of Arizona, you wouldn't be allowed to drive a car at 20/50. So he's already at that point where he wouldn't be able to, you know, drive a car when he's 16 years old. And then the way that the vision loss occurs in his condition, it's not just purely acuity based, like, you know, being able to, you know, read certain colors. It has to do with also the light perception. So how well you can function in light versus dark environments and the visual field. So the visual field changes in his condition. So there's really those three parts all kind of work together to create what's known as his syndrome. Really, for people who wear contacts, things like that, it's really about visual acuity and just like how clearly you can see. And that's just one kind of component of his vision loss. And he has retinitis pigmentosa, and one of the symptoms is like you kind of get this tunnel vision. So your visual field starts kind of collapsing in from the sides, and you get progressive tunnel vision over time. So you can see less of your visual field than you normally would be able to. And then one of the big ones for him right now, especially, is light vision. So he has trouble seeing in low light environments and at night particularly. So like we were over fall break, we were at Universal Studios, and, you know, there's all these lines where you're standing in the dark, or the rides are dark, or you're in these dark spaces. And he was very uncomfortable in those places and just would kind of grab onto us, or, you know, he would get nervous, or you know, you could tell he just was not being able to see very well. And certainly there's times where he'll ask about something or try to do something, and like he's saying, like, I can't see that, and like I can clearly see it. So you know that he's having a hard time when the light starts to get dimmer and it's a darker environment. So those are definitely kind of the key symptoms. So it's really a kind of a multitude of those factors: the visual acuity, the visual field, and then just how well he can function in the day versus night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, that's hard.
How many people are like Luke? who struggle with the same disease. Yeah, disease. And I mean, is it something that's pretty well known, or is it just specifically to Luke, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so his condition is called retinitis pigmentosa. Retinitis pigmentosa is really a group of actual underlying diseases, like genetic conditions that cause it. So it's not just like, there's not just one thing called retinitis pigmentosa that's unique to everybody who has it. That's really kind of the syndrome. That's like the clinical manifestation of it. But there's actually thousands of different causes of retinitis pigmentosa. So specific gene mutations that cause that syndrome, basically, which gets a little complicated when we're looking at cures and treatments and all that stuff, because each one of those really need their own treatment at current time, the way the technology for treatment goes. So it's a very complicated path. So his underlying genetic mutation is named Bardet-Biedl syndrome, which actually has a few other clinical symptoms that go with it, not just the vision loss, but that's kind of the main and most well-known part of it. And there's only about 3,000 people in the U.S. who have Bardet-Biedl syndrome. There's probably a couple hundred thousand that have retinitis pigmentosa. So retinitis pigmentosa is called a rare disease. Bardet-Biedl syndrome is actually called an ultra rare disease. So he has a ultra rare disease, which is very complicated in terms of fundraising and awareness and treatments and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Okay. So now I think we need to bridge the gap of, let's talk about your nonprofit and the clinical studies and the clinical trials you guys are working towards getting brought to America from the UK. If I'm getting some of this wrong, just correct me on the details, but I remember. Okay, cool. I'm not a doctor, so my medical terminology is not going to be great.
We need one of those voices that talk really fast that give all the disclaimers. Oh, yeah.
So you all have this nonprofit and you started it to help raise awareness, because obviously there's people like us who had no idea about this, or, you know, just we're not familiar with it. So you all are trying, you are really racing it to get this clinical trial to the U.S., to Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, before Luke loses all of his vision. Is that correct? Or just tell us about that process. I mean, where are they at in the clinical trial right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's all 100% correct. So
okay, good.
when we started this nonprofit, we really didn't have we didn't know what we were going to be able to accomplish. We just didn't have any idea where things stood. And so we kind of just started learning about, like, is there anybody working on this? We started connecting with different researchers who were working on the same or similar conditions. And ultimately that led us to the UK, where there's a company called Axovia Therapeutics. They've been working on Bardet-Biedl syndrome, vision loss specifically, for a very long time. And they had gotten to the point where they had developed a therapy that was essentially ready to go to a human clinical trial. And they were at the fundraising stage. And so we kind of just happened to come along at the right time in the right place, where we kind of had these aligned goals and interests of, you know, trying to fundraise and do awareness and get a treatment out for this ultra rare condition. And so we paired up with them and started, you know, looking at ways we could advance the therapy and treatment. And so they're obviously based in the UK, and that's where all their kind of connections and resources are. And so they've been working on trying to get the clinical trial off the ground in the UK, which they have not yet got it off the ground into humans yet. And they were like, well, we need to get it to the US eventually, no matter what. And so that's where I kind of started to come in and do some advocacy and awareness work over here. I do have a healthcare background, as I mentioned. I'm a physician. So I started to try to utilize any connections I had in that field. And ultimately that led us to researchers at Mayo Clinic Rochester, who were also interested in a similar type of, you know, treatments and therapies and disease sets. And we linked Dr. Scruggs at the Mayo Clinic up with Axovia, and they kind of shared data, went through all the process of learning about where each other were at. And ultimately Dr. Scruggs agreed that, yeah, we'd love to be the clinical trial site for this therapy when it's ready to come here. So the really big hurdle at this point is the only thing standing in its way is fundraising. So, you know, when we have the fundraising in place, we have the partners, we have all the kind of plans, and we just need to make that happen. So it's both exciting and kind of frustrating that you're like, wow, we have this thing that could really save his vision and thousands of children like him, but money is the one thing standing in its way. So here we are.
I hate that. Yeah. Okay. So can we talk numbers for a second? Like, I'm assuming this is very, very expensive. Is it just an open ending? You guys just keep getting the money until they're able to get it over here? What does that look like? I have no idea what kind of fundraising goal you guys would even have in mind for something like this.
Yeah, so the real goal is to have a joint campaign of philanthropy plus venture capital, bringing all this together. And we're working on both sides of it. We're obviously more the philanthropy side. And so our goal as a nonprofit was to bring in $1 million. And that's what we're working towards. Ultimately, the clinical trial will require more than that. And that's partly where the venture capital comes in. But really, what's been interesting to me in learning is how much the philanthropy side matters to the venture capitalists. They want to know that there's, you know, support for it, that it matters, that there's an impact from it. You know, just being able to say, this is how many supporters we have, this is how many people care about this, outside of just the people who are going to be impacted by it, all those kind of things actually matter, and they care about it, and it makes a huge impact. So the two really exist well together, and it makes a huge difference. And the philanthropy part is extremely important in advancing this. And so we've really kind of taken on both of those as much as we can, but we're trying to raise $1 million as a nonprofit.
I want to go back to your story just a little bit, because it's, I mean, the van is cool and this, the cause is worthy, but you yourself, you're a dad, you're a physician. I mean, you're not only a dad to Luke, but you're a dad to your other children. And now you're doing this nonprofit stuff. How are you doing this? How do you keep going?
That's a lot.
It's a lot to manage.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is. It truly is. It's a lot. And I would be lying if I came up here and said it's all just like easy and, you know, just like, no, yeah, no big deal. I just do all these things. It's not. There's a lot of days where you're just kind of running on empty. You have doubt, you're overwhelmed with emotions sometimes. So, you know, I'm like anybody in that I experience that range of emotions, and you just keep pushing through the best you can. I'd say the one thing that really ultimately keeps me going at a high level is the importance of the mission. Anytime you are passionate about the work that you're doing and why you're doing it, if you understand the why, you can really get through almost anything. And that's kind of the underlying thing that keeps me going in those days where I'm just exhausted, tired, you know, unsure of how to keep moving. That's, you sit back and you think about that. And in this case, it's my son. It's finding a cure for him and finding a cure for all the kids who have what he has, and trying to prevent other people from having to go through this, not just the patients, but the families who go through this with their family members who are losing their vision. And that keeps you going. So there's just, but it's, you know, it's a lot of work, a lot of hours, and a lot of sacrifice, but it is entirely worth it.
This is something I don't think we thought about asking this question, but I'm just curious, how is Luke getting involved with helping? Is there anything that he's doing, like really passionate about helping the nonprofit too? Is there anything he's like, what's his advocacy for it look like?
Yeah. So, you know, one thing we've really tried to do is try to make sure that he has as normal of a childhood as possible through all this. And we really don't want his childhood to be defined by this. We've really looked at this as something, it's something he has, but it's not who he is. And we want him to kind of embrace that same mindset. So we obviously are open with him about what we're doing and what he has and what the future looks like. But ultimately, we still want him to just go about his life like any other kid would, and doing the normal kid things and seeing life in the way that kids are. So while I pretty much wake up and think about this every single day and work on this every single day, and it defines my life, he doesn't see that every day. He doesn't experience that the way we are, because we don't want him to, and we don't want him to have this front and center in his face all the time, because then that it would invariably, you know, I don't know how that would affect him as an adult, but I just want him to be like a normal kid. And so we try to balance that. So the long and the short of it is simply that, you know, he knows what's going on, but, you know, he's experiencing life as a normal kid as much as we can make that happen for him.
I mean, 10 years old, he's so young. He's just a kid.
Yeah. I really respect that answer, because I feel like that's a really fine line to toy of, trying to raise awareness and funds and all that, but while also still trying to be a human during this entire endeavor. Yeah, I really respect that a lot.
Thank you.
So we talked about traveling in the van, and we've talked about the goal and the mission behind it. Do you want to tell everybody how you guys are actually going about fundraising towards the end of 2023 here?
Yep. So our biggest fundraiser, the one that you're alluding to, is so obviously we hit the road van lifestyle and wanted to see as much of the world as possible and make as many memories as we can. And we really wanted to share that experience with somebody and let them have the opportunity to see the world and make as many memories as possible. So we did a van giveaway fundraiser. So we launched that this summer, and it will be ending December 31st, and we will be announcing the winner January 1st. So new year, new van, new adventures for the lucky winner. It's going to be amazing and exciting. So we can't wait to share that with everybody.
So cool. Yeah. And let's just say Chris and I have seen a lot of vans in our day, and y'all's van is truly beautiful. It's a really nice van.
It's a cool van. It really is a cool van.
We're going to link everything down below about how you can enter the sweepstakes to win the van, see pictures of the van. But I want to mention that there are two options that people have. They can either get the keys to your amazing van that's designed for a family of four, or they can get their own built by the same builders. Could you talk about what your van's like? Like, what kind of components to have in it? What could somebody else's van look like if they wanted to go the custom route?
100%. Yep. So those are the two options. And we really chose that because having kind of gone through the whole van life experience ourselves and going through trying to figure out what we would need to go on the road, we realized how unique everybody's kind of van life needs are. You know, everybody's different, you know, whether you're going to be a big family traveling together or, you know, a solo van lifer or couple who's a weekend warrior type, you know, group or whatever the case may be, however you're going to use your van, everybody's kind of needs are going to be different. And that looks different in terms of the sleeping arrangements, bathroom, showers, look, feel, colors, features, layout, all the things. And so we have a pretty tricked out van. It's
so tricked out.
It probably sleeps four, but it actually can sleep six.
Wow.
Yeah. So believe it or not, there's room for six in this van. We have the pop top up top, which is my favorite. Uh-huh. It has, pops off the top and you can climb in through the hatch in the van. And that's sleeping for two up top. And it's a big, long sleeping spot. I'm 6'5" and I fit in that thing nicely.
Wow.
And it's cool. It's got three little windows up there. You can kind of open them up and let air in, or you can close it up and keep it enclosed. It's beautiful. It's best views in the house. Then there's a drop-down bed over the dinette area, which sleeps two as well. And that was kind of the second main bed that we used, which is nice because, like, when you wake up in the morning, all you do is just move the bed up and it's out of the way and you don't have to, like, make your bed, bank your bed, so to speak. And then there is the dinette area, which is below the bed. Now, that actually does convert to a extra sleeping area, which is actually one of the biggest sleeping areas, like, because it's, like, the base of the van and it's the full width of it. And it converts down to a sleeping area as well. And there's sleeping for two more. So you could really sleep six if you wanted. But I'd say four is like ideal. And then there's the extra space if you wanted to kind of have somebody else kind of join you or needed a spot for somebody for a little while or something, or a dog, whatever you want.
Or several dogs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen a van that sleeps six. Yeah. I mean, vans are relatively small.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty impressed by that. Impressive. What van model is it? Is it a Mercedes?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's the reason we were able to get that much space is it is the long wheelbase Mercedes Sprinter. It's on the 2023 all-wheel drive chassis. So it's a pretty big van. Like, I think the number one thing that people say when they see it compared to the pictures is they go, wow, this is big. Like,
it's a big van.
It is not a small van, and it is off-grid, off-road capable. So it is lifted. It has big tires. It's just a big, imposing van, like when you see it. Yet it's very maneuverable. You can still park it in basically a normal parking spot, in a normal parking lot. Certainly, it goes very easily into the tent campsites at national parks and all that kind of stuff. So you don't need, you know, any special RV site or anything to camp with it in the national parks. You just roll right into the tent campsite and you're good to go. Nice. So it's really, you know, kind of the best of both worlds in terms of being super maneuverable, easy to travel with, quick and easy to set up and take down. and extremely capable. Like, you know, you can off-road it, you can get to some of those really off-grid, you know, remote locations safely and effectively. So like some of its main features on that, you know, I mentioned the lift off-road tires. It also has a winch on it. So if you got into some sticky situation, you could winch yourself out. It has solar. Yeah. Has solar, has a, you know, huge battery array, has a giant inverter, all the comforts of home, battery or a microwave, fridge.
Oh my word.
You know, sink, has a full size shower, has hot water heater.
Wow.
And lots
could go of, forever.
Lots of storage. Yeah, I mean that's really kind of the idea on it, is that you really could, you know, depending on how you're using your power, if you're a pretty like light power user, you could ideally just go off grid and stay there and not really need to return to civilization from a power standpoint. You know, it has a 40-gallon freshwater tank. So most of the sprinters are in the 20 to 30-gallon range. So it does have 10 extra gallons of capacity over most sprinters you're going to find from a water standpoint. So you're going to be able to kind of maximize your time out there from a water standpoint, depending on how you're using showers, drinking water, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the power side, you know, the idea is that you can kind of just go out there and stay and not really need to have a lot of power, like hookups or generators or all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So nice.
It's
really a nice van. You have to look at the pictures of it. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited for this sweepstakes that somebody's actually going to get a chance to have a van that they may not be able to afford otherwise.
Yeah. So how can people win it?
Yeah, for sure. So, on our website, we have an entry system, and basically you can, you know, enter for as little as $25. That's kind of the base paid entry, and that'll get you 10 entries. And then you can, as you buy more entries, you get discounted price all the way up to $1,000 for 1,000 entries. So that gets down to $1 an entry if you want to go max support. Max support, max chance to win, max impact on curing childhood blindness. The ticket sales end on December 31st, and then we're announcing the winner new year. So it's really pretty straightforward. We do have ways for people to get extra free entries, like if you share it on your social media, there's a unique link that people can get that gets them free entries if their friends enter, stuff like that. So it's really something we want to, you know, try to get as far and wide as possible and have as many people enter and just make it an amazing experience, make it a huge success for the nonprofit, make a huge dent in curing childhood blindness, but also give somebody an amazing opportunity to have this crazy van if they want it. Or like you said, they can build their own if their van life needs are different than ours. The van upfitter who made ours, it will make them a similar van up to the same value, basically, which is around $250,000. And you can build the van as you would need it and kind of make your own van life. And then the two differences in that are our van's ready. It's made and ready to go. So if you basically want it January 1st or thereafter, we can basically get you that van right away. Or you can do the build process, which we'll in some degree depend on you and how many customizations you want and how unique you want things and material availability, which is always up in the air. But generally speaking, we guess about a 6-month process for you to design, customize, get all the materials, and then let the van maker build it out and get it ready for you. So probably mid next year, you'd probably be on your own and having adventures.
So summer 2024 could be very different for someone.
Yeah, very different.
I love that.
Oh man.
I love it. So I do want to ask, because there are some people who are probably not that, maybe van life's not their thing, but they are interested in the nonprofit and giving back. How can people get involved to donate? You guys mentioned that you're a 501c3, so people, I'm guessing, could probably make end of the year donations. Also, you mentioned Ironman. Are there other ways people can get involved besides just typical financial giving?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Yeah, so end of the year stuff is fantastic. You know, get your tax deductible donations in and lower your taxable income. And, you know, obviously consult with your tax person to figure out the exact numbers that work for you. But that's a huge way you can support us. And we have a very unique setup for our nonprofit. We do not have any executive salaries. 100% of the money that comes in stays in the nonprofit as earmarked to go towards these clinical trials. Everything that's happening expense-wise, me and my family are personally funding. We are covering all the costs. And so we are not taking money out of the nonprofit to cover expenses for it. So it's all going towards, you know, the clinical trial. So it's a really unique opportunity to be able to give a meaningful impact and know that it's going towards the mission that you actually want it to, which is a little different from some nonprofits, especially bigger ones, which have executive salaries and buildings and all these employees and all this stuff. And not to say those aren't good causes and important to donate to, but just there's a smaller percentage of your donation that actually makes its way to that actual mission sometimes. So that's just something unique about us. We're a small kind of mom and pop nonprofit, if you want to call it that. And we run it that way. So it's a really, we just want people to know that there's just such a high impact that they can have with even a dollar. You know, it all makes a difference. One of my favorite things I've said a million times is that 15 million people putting in a dollar is as good or better than $15 million from one huge donation. And so I really think that that's a, you know, meaningful message to, you know that, you know, if enough people come together to kind of make their voice heard and make their donation count, that you can, we can all come together to essentially cure this thing and make this happen, which is, I think, super powerful to think about.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So excited for you guys and all that you guys are after. And we're so thankful we get to be a part. So thank you for thinking of us. But we're going to link everything down below so people can find the nonprofit's website, the sweepstakes, see pictures of the van, see maybe some pictures of y'all's family travels, you know, that kind of thing, to see what you guys are up to. But thank you so much for being here. This was such a great conversation. And we're just thankful you can take the time for us.
Thank you. Wow. I mean, just it means a lot to me to be able to share this, get our message out, and be a part of this. And it just means the world to me. And anybody who's able to support us, we truly appreciate it. Your donations and your support are mean so much and can make such a huge impact. So thank you so much.
I think that's a really cool conversation. We really enjoyed shooting this episode with Steve. Truthfully, we were not familiar with A Race Against Blindness until they approached us a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, would you guys be a part of this and sharing about this fundraiser? So we instantly got excited. We've worked with nonprofits in the past. Usually on Giving Tuesday, we pick somebody, several nonprofits, to say, hey, give to these nonprofits. And this is one that approached us this year. So it's sort of a different angle, but we love the chance to use our platform for good and help others. So there's a couple ways you can get involved. Number one, the van sweepstakes. And that's the big one. I know a lot of people are going to be really excited about this. And it's a really cool prize. And it's super special to the Johnston family since they have grown to love van life too. But you can win that van. All the links are going to be down below. So you can enter the sweepstakes. The lowest entry is $25. And that gets you 10 entries into the sweepstakes. And it goes all the way up to $1,000 entries. Mm-hmm. You can buy multiple of those you want. But the $1,000 gets you 1,000 entries. There's other ways that you can enter too, by like sharing it and having other people enter. When other people enter via the link that you share, you get extra entries for free. I mean, it's a really cool opportunity. So you can share that. We do have to legally disclose that is an affiliate link for us. They're tracking to see where people are coming from for the sweepstakes. So we do get a small kickback. But yeah, we are genuinely passionate about sharing about this and helping Luke and other people like Luke save their vision and be able to enjoy a life of more traveling.
Yeah. And another way for you to get involved is actually donating straight to the 501c3. So there's a difference between a sweepstakes and then donating straight to the charity. A sweepstakes, yes, the money does go to the 501c3, but legally they have to disclose it's a sweepstakes and not just giving straight to the charity. Mm-hmm. So we just want to make that very clear.
Yeah. And if you'd like to make just a pure donation to the 501c3, it's called A Race Against Blindness, and that is tax deductible. So if you're a business, if you're an individual and you have money that you want to get as a tax deduction for your 2023 taxes, this is a great place to do it. We don't see a kickback from that at all. We think it's a great nonprofit and it is worthy of giving. So go check that out if you're interested in that.
So remember, if you want to win a van, click the link down below, donate. And then on January 1st, they'll pick the winner. And then you can have this really, really cool van.
How cool would it be if somebody in our audience is the one to win it? They win this van. And so 2024 for them, they can go anywhere. Okay, maybe we should make this a deal. If somebody from our audience is the one to win this van, we will give away if somebody in our audience is the one to win this van, we haven't talked about this, so Chris has no idea what I'm about to say.
I don't know what we're about to give away.
It's not really going to give away. We're going to give away a meeting with us. And I know that sounds so stupid. Well, but how about
we will come out and camp with you. Or like,
oh, well, that's a big commitment. I wasn't going to go there. Okay. Let's not. Maybe. Okay. I was going to say, if you win, we'll have a Skype call with you or some sort of video call, and we're going to help you plan out your first adventure in the van. You know, we've been to all 50 states, and we can give you our best itineraries, our best inside tricks, maybe even help you learn how to use the van. So we'll make some personal element and make sure you guys get the full Christmas Care van experience.
So whether you're already in van life or maybe you're new to van life, we'll help you out no matter what department, what category you're in. So yeah, we'll do this.
I think that'd be so fun to be a part of that in another way. Okay.
So guys, if you're listening to this, you need to win. So go donate, because we want one of our people to win.
I know somebody's like, I don't really care about you guys. I just want the van. Do I have to meet with you?
Yeah, you don't have to meet with us, but, you know. Or
we do need to say there's a couple of rules to the giveaway.
Or maybe they meet with Kramer.
We'll send Kramer with you guys in your first van trip. Yeah, how's that sound?
That'll be a blessing in disguise.
All right. Okay. Couple of rules for the sweepstakes, though. People, New York residents are not allowed to enter. That's a New York thing. Not the nonprofit discriminating against New York. It's just sweepstakes rules in general. New York's kind of funny. You must be 18 or older to enter, and you must be a legal resident of the U.S.
Yes. And that's it.
All right. Good luck, y'all. We'll see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to What No One Tells You with Chris and Sarah. If you have a comment or question that you want answered on the air, be sure to send us a message to hello@chrisandsarah.com, or you can call or text our phone number at 423-825-9572. Thanks for listening.